The audio, and that's going fine, and I'm putting up the study.
And we're going to blow the trumpet. Shabbat Shalom. Very good. With that sounding of the trumpet, I always think we're going to have herds of people coming in. But at the moment, they're not knocking the doors down. But we are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Ha BeMashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. Shabbat Shalom, this is God's time. And we're going to pray and ask God to bless and anoint the Sabbath. So, would you mind standing and we'll pray to God. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, Master of the Universe, I thank you for another Shabbat. I thank you for the blood of the Messiah. I thank you that you're a living God and you hear us, Lord and God. Be with us today in a special way. I pray you'll send your Holy Spirit to be with us. Father, touch us in Yeshua's name. I pray you'll give us more wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the fear of God. Give us revelation of your word and discernment. Heavenly Father, give us the depths of the scriptures. Bless this day. Let everything be done to the glory of God, to the edifying of the body, the brothers and sisters. And I pray, Lord and God, that you'll somehow, these people, all from the past, all these years, somehow that you'll alert them that maybe there's something wrong in their lives and convict them, Lord and God. Bless and anoint this Shabbat in Yeshua's name, this Mikra Kodesh, this holy sacred assembly. Bless everyone here and touch and heal them in Messiah's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Yeah, it's a beautiful day here in Tennessee. It's going to be like 61. It's beautiful. People are jogging. I tell my wife, they're sort of Tennessee people around here always push it, like, you know, they're out with shorts already. Yep. And I'm like, and they're like running around. I'm thinking like, wait a minute, it's not that hot. Today is February 1st, and there's the February where it comes from, the Roman festival of, I don't know why they call it purification. It's from it's of Sabian origin, or Sabine origin, and that's to do with Rome and Sicily and all those places. You know, even though it's the first day of February, it's the last day of Shabbat. And tonight is the Rosh Chodesh. It's going to start the 12th month of God, Adar. So isn't that nice? And I believe we're going to have a leap year this year, two Adars, because we do it every 3 years or so, because if we don't do it, Passover will be in the winter, which obviously wouldn't be correct. So tonight starts the 12th month of God, which I'm going to fix all the websites, I guess, just when I get home. Yesterday was Chinese New Year. Anyway, there's where it says Adar. Obviously, Adar means glorious, too, because a lot of glorious events take place. And, of course, some things that almost look like atrocities turn into God's glory, like in the Purim. And I believe we'll be doing Purim on the second Adar, I believe. And it's part of our February and March. For everyone's benefit, all my websites are still running back there on the servers. You could read them, hear them, watch them, and download them to your phone, to your iPod, iPad, or whatever you want to do. As for everyone's knowledge, I got off Facebook again. I discontinued that. That's just a waste of time, to be honest with you, because, you know, I put my studies up and I say things, and no one ever really comments, and everyone's just so interested in posting their stuff. And then about time you look at the screen again, so many people have been on it that you're way down, and you miss everything. So it's a big waste of time, and it's just to me, it's not useful. Today's topic is beware of the novice, pride. And I didn't realize this, but the pride is a big subject in the Bible. And I'm only going to read a few scriptures. But pride seems to be a culprit that really can doom you. A novice, first of all, a novice should not be teaching or leading a group. And we see this all the time. People that are novices, that's been with us a year or two, they think they're big teachers all of a sudden, and they even start groups, and they try to lead people. I wouldn't do that if I was you. We have witnessed people who have studied with us for a while, then leave, telling everyone that they learned everything on their own, too. That's a lie, and that's pride. Some people that come here and study with us, you know, for a year or two, they leave and they say, oh, I learned everything about myself by reading. That's not true. We don't mind if people leave, obviously. There's no bars on this place. But the Bible says don't teach if you're a novice. Some people just think that's a commandment also. Yeah, you might say, well, where does it say that in the Torah? Well, they never had people in the congregation that were leading. It was Moses and Aaron, right? And Miriam. Those are the people God selected. It wasn't just anybody just jump up and start teaching. But anyway, Peter instructs us that there's going to be false prophets, which there's always going to be, and there's false teachers among us, even now. And these false teachers probably would incorporate also novices that insist on instructing people or being teachers. And they might say, well, I'm not really a teacher. I'm just showing my love for God. No, if you get on one of these social medias and you put up a topic and then you start getting comments and then people start answering you and you can't answer them, that's bad. But we've lost a lot of people too that were with us because some people are just trying to be in charge. And they're going to bring in damnable heresies. Heresies is one of the things that you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Even some other people in the past, they denied that the Lord that bought them and they brought upon themselves swift destruction. And it's a scary thing. So let's talk a little bit about pride and being proud. I see pride has always been a problem. And I'm only going to do a few verses on that because it's all over the Bible. Now, Paul instructs Timothy, which he says, make sure if we get anyone to be in charge, you do not pick a novice. Because novices get lifted up. They always get lifted up with pride. And they will fall in the condemnation of the devil. Before you know it, a novice starts thinking they're the big spiritual instructor. You know, they think they're the big, I don't know. Gosh, I wish I can go listen to someone. I'd like to sit in the back and listen. And I take notes. I'd love to do that. I realize when I'm teaching here, I have to be careful what I say. It has to be accurate. But novices just say anything they feel like. We had novices last week get real upset at me because I was reading the Bible saying that you're not supposed to pray for the heathen. You're supposed to pray for your brothers and sisters. God don't even know the heathen. It says God didn't know any other family on the earth. Now you're supposed to preach to the heathen. That's totally different. But they all got mad at me, and some of them are not with us today because they're novices, and they're trying to, I don't know, it's a scary thing. We always realize people that are not here, right here in Tennessee, with us, that we don't get to know each other, really, you know, really. We don't really know what other people are doing. I mean, I can't really say what other people are doing. I might talk to them for years on the phone or on the internet, but I really don't know what you're doing, right? And you don't know what we're doing. By now, I wish I should have ordained a deacon or a bishop in another city or another state, but I don't know anyone. Because no one came here and got under our tutelage, and they never really got instructed, there's nothing I can do. I don't even know anybody to... Look what it says right here. Peter tells us, likewise, the younger, supposed to run the show? No, it's supposed to submit themselves unto the elder, which is just normal. No, this is in the faith. It doesn't mean by age. Because an older person can join, and the younger person that's older in God might obviously knows more. So this all has to be taken in the right understanding. And basically, all of us are supposed to be subject one to another. Why? Because God resists, he says, and you're supposed to be clothed with humility. He resists the proud. And where does he give grace to? The humble. So I'd rather be humble. I'm being honest with you, I always look around for brothers and sisters, and if they're, you know, some people say, well, I'm not the only Torah teacher. Well, I never said I was. I always wonder, where are the other Torah teachers? I'd love to meet them as brothers and sisters. Where are they? Please, someone forward me, someone that's keeping the commandments of God. I'd love to meet them. That's not on some wild name game trip. That's not in some the Sabbath is on Tuesday, or they don't believe in heaven and hell, or they don't believe people are in heaven right now. I was reading a scripture this morning where Yeshua was telling John, was telling some of the people that those that are in the kingdom of heaven, even the least, are greater than the people on earth. So that shows that people are in heaven right now too, at Yeshua's time. But no one really reads the Gospels correctly, you know. So if you know of anybody that's keeping the commandments, I've said this on numerous studies, please forward their names to me. I'd love to meet them as brothers and sisters. Now David says, the wicked in his pride does persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. That's right. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God's not in all his thoughts. And we had a sister yesterday say, God's in all her thoughts. That's great. And God's in my thoughts, too. I'm always thinking of God or godly thoughts. I'm not thinking about doing anyone wrong. Right here it says, thou shalt hide them in secret. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Pride of people is really treacherous, you know. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. You ever notice that pride always comes before destruction? And pride always comes before contention, too. People that are proud, you know, they're just too proud to say they're wrong, or they might have to learn something or relearn something. You know, when I'm given a teaching, some of the topics and some of the studies might seem new to your eardrums. Now, a humble person would say, wow, I never really considered it in that direction. Let me look that up or let me research that. But I have people actually get mad at me, foaming at the mouth. And that's pride. You should take this, say, let me review that and double check what he's saying, or where did he get that from, and come and talk to me nice. Not get angry in your own spirit. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. There's a lot of people that curse me and lie to us, you know. There's some people that think they're keeping the Torah and keeping the Sabbath when this is a Mikra Kodesh. It's a sacred assembly, and we're right here. So if you're not here today and you're just hanging out in your house, you're breaking the Sabbath. It's supposed to be going to a Mikra Kodesh, a sacred assembly. And there's people that I think they almost cursed me last week, but I'm not sure. They didn't like my message last week. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain, and violence covers them as a garment. The fear of Jehovah is to hate evil. We're supposed to actually, yes, you're allowed to hate. What are you supposed to hate? Evil. Now, what is evil? Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth, God says, I hate. I can't stand it myself either. I can't stand a froward mouth and cursing and lying. People that lie. Some people lie and don't even know they're lying. That's really weird. I mean, that's the strangest thing I've experienced just recently. Some people lie and don't even know it. Or maybe they do and they're pretending they don't know. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the lowly is wisdom, right? Look at this. Only by pride comes contention. So if you get in an argument with somebody, you already know pride has entered the building ahead of time. But with the well-advised is wisdom. In the mouth of the foolish, there's a rod of pride. Some people go, well, I just learned everything by myself. I studied all by myself. Well, that's proud. But the lips of the wise preserve them. And this is the scary part. Pride goes before destruction. And we can always tell when someone's not going to be around longer or any longer because a haughty spirit starts showing up. A haughty spirit comes before a fall. Some people don't even know they fell. They think they're just serving God. But if you're living a lie and you're still, you know, doing things that are contrary to the word of God, you're tricked, right? A man's pride shall bring him what? Low. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit, right? Now, this is, I knew this when I even had, when I had my clothing store. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, which I use to my advantage, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's all that's in the world. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. So these things that are in the world are not supposed to be any of our attributes that we're aspiring to, right? We're supposed to be aspiring to godly attributes. Jehovah shall cut off all flattering lips. People that come and flatter me, I always know something's up. And the tongue that speaks proud things. You know, I always hear when someone's speaking, there's too many I's in it, like I this and I that and I this and I, and then they go, excuse me, I'm sorry for talking about myself. What do you have to say about me? And then you know it's overboard, right? You got to be, well, you can always watch when you're in a conversation with the way people are, because it's, their tongue gives them away. They're enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth, they speak proudly. Let lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. You know, I've been noticing when I'm reading this, lying lips and pride go together also. Lying lips, contention and pride are akin, you know? Oh, love Jehovah, oh ye his saints. Yes, we love God. Amen. Jehovah preserves the faithful, and he's going to plentifully reward the proud doer. Some people might think they're getting away with this, but their damnation slumbers not, and their suffering lingers not. And I'm not happy about it. Blessed is the person that makes Jehovah his trust and respects not the proud. We don't respect the proud and lift them up, nor such as turn aside to lies. See how lies, and they're always in the same. I'm even learning something today. So we got the proud and lies go together. Oh God, the proud are risen against me, and the assembly of violent men have sought after my soul, have not set you before them. Yes. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, and render a reward to the proud. There's a righteous prayer. Some people are very proud, and you know, they try to take advantage of their, you know, people, of other people that they knew. Whoso privily slanders his neighbor, God says, him will I cut off. Him or her that has a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Some people have a proud heart. I don't know why. I've seen people that have almost nothing that are proud. And I still can't figure that out. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, that which do err from thy commandments. Now, these are just a few verses I'm picking out in the Bible. I mean, you might go, I'm just using the concordance and getting... No, no. There's gazillions of them. I'm only picking out some of them. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy Torah. So here we have David and Solomon and all these people that pride was a major issue with them, with other people. Look what it says right here. The proud... have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. You know, the proud try to get us in derision. They try to get us off track, but we don't decline from the Torah. We're still here. We didn't quit, right? The proud, it says, let the proud be ashamed, for they deal perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. You know, I was listening to my study from last week, and I was thinking to myself, there's people that leave us, and they said we did something wrong, but then they said they didn't do anything wrong. So I was saying that, I wonder if you didn't do anything wrong, why wouldn't you come back then? I mean, Like, you didn't do anything wrong, right, last week, right? You're here. You didn't say, well, I didn't do anything wrong, so I'm not going back. That doesn't even make any sense. The proud have always tried to dig pits for us, and they're not really after the Torah. For surely, it says, be surely for thy servant for good, and not, be not, it says, let not the proud oppress me. You could see proud, I guess you could see pride and arrogancy, especially in a workplace too, I bet. In an office with people. Some people are just so proud. Our soul is exceedingly filled with scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Yeah. I've seen pride when I even had my business a long time ago. I remember people that were so proud, and I was thinking, wait a minute, I'm the owner. You're the guy I hired. You didn't hire me. You got this backwards. If it not been Jehovah who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it not been Jehovah who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then let the waters that had overwhelmed us and the stream had gone over our soul, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be Jehovah who had not given us up, given us as a prey to their teeth. Yeah, but some people, you know, you got to get away from them, to be honest with you, because the pride is deadly. Though Jehovah be high, yet he had respect unto the lowly. But the proud, he knows, are far off. The proud have hid a snare for me, and cords. They have spread a net for my They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me, Selah. Yeah, traps. And this is an interesting. When I was reading this, and I was thinking about this, you know, last night I didn't know what to say this morning, and I was thinking about. Just things I jot down during the week and activities that go on and people I meet and people I do transactions with. And, you know, this the pride is a big deal. You know, I think it's even a big deal if you're just in the carnal setting because there's people out there that, you know, recognize pride, you know. God hates pride. Look what it says. These six things does Jehovah hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. Now, these are things God actually hates. So, yes, you could say they're sin, okay? Because if God hates them, some people might ask me, is that sin? Well, if God hates them, yeah. What are these things? A proud look, and it's always kin to a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, and feet that are swift running to mischief. God hates a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sowed discord among brethren. Some people try to sow discord, and some people try to get other people away from the flock because they think they're right and they're so holy. So be careful about that. They're sowing God hates that. We're not trying to get anyone away, or we don't have, you know, we're not trying to do anything to anyone. Jehovah will destroy the house of the proud, in plain English. But he will establish the border of the widow. I got an amen right there. Everyone that's proud in heart is what? It's an abomination to Jehovah. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished, of course. You know, I always feel this way. It is better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly and just a few people than to divide the big spoil with the proud. Yeah, like the giant churches that got all these people. I'd rather be with a few people that are doing right and keeping the commandments. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked, there it is. It is sin. So you might say, where does it say that in the word, that being proud is a sin? Right there. Proverbs 21:4. Okay? Proud and haughty scorner is their name who deals in proud wrath. You know, there's a lot of depths to pride, too. Like you might say, well, that person doesn't act proud. Well, if they're so proud that they don't humble themselves and they try to cover their sin and hide it, and they go around telling everybody, I didn't do anything wrong, that's pride, because they're saying everybody else is wrong. He or she that's of a proud heart stirred up strife, but he that putteth his trust in Jehovah shall be made fat. Amen. Let as many servants that are under the yoke, this never happens because most of the time I get cursed at, and basically, it says, let as many servants that are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters and people that are of the God of Israel, let them, don't despise them because they're your brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These are the things you're supposed to teach and exhort. Now, if any man or woman don't like these words, and they teach otherwise, and they consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, and to this doctrine, and according to godliness, they're proud. So being proud is actually calling someone a drastic word, actually. I never thought of it before I did this study. When you say somebody's proud, that's something God hates. So it's actually more, there's more to it than just the easy, you got pride. That's a deep thing to tell somebody. Look what it says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of people of corrupt minds. They're destitute of the truth. They suppose gain is godliness. From these kind of people, you're supposed to, what, have a prayer meeting? Withdraw yourself. You see that? Some people might go, well, you're just mean. No, I didn't say that. That was Apostle Paul. James says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. What's humble? Does walking around like, you know, you look like you're going to fall apart? No, humble means you're serving God, keeping his commandments. That's being very humble. And you're putting everyone before you. You become servant of all. You don't think so much of yourself. Yeah, I don't think like I'm the big leader here and I'm the big minister and I lord over you. God forbid. I come here very humbly and I read these verses to you because I got to read them to myself first. And then I got to read them to you and think, gosh, I don't want to be proud either. God, take away any pride from me. You know, something God hates. In the Gospel of Mark, we have this little parable. It says, and when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning this parable. He said unto them, and some people don't like the way Yeshua talks, as he said unto them, are you also without understanding? What's the story? Do not you perceive that whatsoever thing from without entering into the man cannot defile him? Because this is not talking about clean and unclean foods. These people all knew about eating the right thing, okay? But it says, but it entered not into the heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. Don't you know this? And he said, that which cometh out of a person, that defiles the man or the woman. You know why? Because it comes right out from your heart. For from within, out of the heart of people, proceed evil thoughts. That's why I always wonder about a heart transplant. Because out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man or the woman. So that's why you always have to ask God, oh, purify my heart. Oh, God, renew a right heart. Give me a heart that's knit to fear thy name. Yeah, we want a heart that God would admire.
a humble heart, right? But pride compasses these people as with a chain, it says, we just read. They're trapped. So I don't know if a physical heart transplant would have all these in it, but I don't know. This seems like from within your heart comes all these things. And God gave us all our hearts, right? Yeah, I don't know about that. Something to think about. How do you deal with it? How do you deal with people that are proud and obstinate? Well, I don't know. Let's find out. You're supposed to have prayer meetings for them, right? Go on retreats with them. Go to parties with them. Paul tells the Roman believers, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them." Yeah, make a little notation in your mind or on a piece of paper if you have to. "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them." Yeah, get away from them. Some people don't like that information. They go, "Well, give them another chance. Let's love them more." Well, I think Apostle Paul knows better than you and I, right? I think we should listen to him. He says, "Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing," because they're all big professors, "they have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you, with thee, amen." So some people that have these false pseudosciences, they're deceiving people too. And they're saying, "Well, there's no God because the Big Bang did it all. Or the molten soup. Or if you're really intelligent, nothing created everything." Yeah, I've seen that. That's really stupid. I mean, but some people believe it. And you have to be watch out for some people, like they get upset sometimes when I don't want to answer their foolish and unlearned questions. I'm supposed to avoid them, according to Apostle Paul, knowing that they're only going to gender strifes. I mean, so I sort of think about questions people ask me before I answer them. Then I think, well, this is foolish. This one's not foolish. This one I'm going to avoid. Because if you answer every question, you'll just be you're arguing all day long. But look what it says right here. Foolish questions. Avoid foolish questions. So if somebody asks you a foolish question, you have to learn how to sidestep that and go say what you want to say and bring them in your arena. Don't fall for their trap. And you could do that in business. You could do that with brothers and sisters. You could do that. Attorneys are expert at that. They don't answer questions that they know it's going to lead them into a trap because they're trained. You notice how Yeshua answered? He always answered a question with a question. Yeah. They might ask him, "Well, you know, do you say you're from God? Are you from God?" He'd go, "Well, let me ask you one question." So he would sidestep them, and then they would be put on the defensive. Now, some people don't like this information here because they're kinder than God, I guess. It says, "But foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the Torah," you're supposed to avoid that because they're unprofitable and vain. You're not supposed to be on all these social medias arguing with people all day long on stupid things against the Torah. And some people don't want to keep the Sabbath. How many times are you supposed to talk to people? A man or a woman that's a heretic after the first and second admonition, what are you supposed to do? Keep going on and on? Apostle Paul says, reject them, knowing that he or she that is, they're subverted and they sin. They're condemned of themselves because they don't want to listen. So, you know, that's a good thing to use on people. If, you know, after the two times, you might say, "Well, you know, according to the Bible, some people have to reject. I guess you're one of them. So I'm leaving you. See ya." And that really gets them mad. And maybe they'll think it over. Try to turn it around on them somehow. But some people are just kinder than God. They go, "Well, you know, I'm going to talk to them, or I'll use my own wisdom to get them." No, they're already rejected. If they rejected us, they're rejecting you. Paul tells Timothy,
Paul says he's an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, which is our hope. He's writing unto Timothy, his own son in faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Yeshua the Messiah our Lord. That's quite an introduction there. Yeah. He says to Timothy, he says, I besought thee to abide at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge them, go tell some of them, because I hear messages and reports that some of them that they don't teach any other doctrine. They're teaching other doctrines. And make sure they don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So if you're in a conversation and you don't detect godly edifying going on, leave, because you know it's going to be strife about genealogies, about should you really keep the Sabbath? How many Torahs are there, two or three? I mean, no, there's only one. Don't let them trick you into a conversation like that. Now, the end of the commandment, the goal to the telos, see what says the end? That's the telos. The goal of the commandment is charity of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith genuine. It's unfeigned, okay? Of which some have swerved and have turned aside unto vain jangling. And some of these people, these novices, they desire to be teachers of the Torah. And they understand neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. I mean, some people, they can't answer simple questions. And I know they sneak on our website and they try to get the answers. Then they go, I studied all by myself. Hey, here's what vain jangling is. There's the Greek word for it. It's just random talk. It's babble. In other words, it's unlearned. Some people could talk a good talk, but what are they really saying? Some people don't say a lot when they talk. Now that I went through all this proud stuff and pride, let's have a few verses about being humble and humility, okay? Now, some of these verses may be the same as the ones above. However, now I'm going to emphasize the word humble, the humble person to you, okay? Brother Job, he says, when men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up. And he shall save the humble person. Amen. David says, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them, for he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Being humble means you're really keeping the commandments and you're meek. It doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're meek. And it doesn't mean, humble doesn't mean, I know what some people think humble is. They think humble means like you come in like you're falling apart and you just like your clothes got all holes in it. That's not being humble. Humble means you're standing on the word of God, trusting in God, keeping his commandments. He croucheth, he humbled himself, that the poor may fall by the strong ones. That's not good. Arise, O Jehovah. God, lift up thy hand, forget not the humble. Jehovah, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou shalt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. You know, just knowing that God hears you, isn't that's so valuable? What's more valuable than that? To think God hears you when you call upon him because you're keeping his commandments and you're not making... You know, let's put it this way. I realize in my life, if you want to get offended at something, you could easily pick out something to get offended on. I could be offended a million years ago on this. That's quite an exaggeration. But no, 13 years ago. How's that? I could have been offended a million times already in the 13 years. But I mean, let's put it this way. If you want to get offended, you'll pick something out that you can make up that offends you. I've heard that people don't like my accent. They don't like my New York sound. They don't like the music. One guy didn't like the drums because it was, some kind of thing you imagine. One guy didn't like the coloring of the decor of the building. One guy don't like the food. One guy don't like the... One person didn't like, I don't know, they don't like the message. One lady said to me, my messages were dark. And I said, well, I'm just reading you the Torah. I didn't write that.
I said, I didn't write any of this. She goes, your message is dark. Let's read about Jesus. And I said, well, that is Jesus in the Torah. He's the Word of God. He's everywhere. He's the one that helped drown the world. The Word of God. Yeah. He's coming back with a rod of iron. Does that sound so sweet? I was telling my wife this morning, you know, we were talking about, you know, the 6,000 years scenario, the possibility of this 6,000 years, because I was reading, when we were reading last night about Shem, I always notice in the godly seed, there's always a six, and he was 600 years old when he died, and so is Noah. He was 600 years when the flood ended, right? Or when it started, right? There's always that six, and it always gives me a thought in my mind about 6,000 years for some reason. And I was telling my wife, you know, we were talking about this morning, you know, about it hasn't been 2,000 years yet, possibly, since Yeshua was on the earth. You know, we have to wait until about, you know, 2035 or something, you know, 2034. Depends how old he was. But if we said 2035, that would be like closer to 2,000 years, you know. So I was thinking, gosh, I'll be 70-something years old, you know. You know, so I'm thinking like, wow. No, I'll probably be older than that. How old was I?
24 years.
Yeah, 24 years. I'll be 80s. I'll be in my 80s. Yeah. So I was thinking, like, gosh. And let's say, hypothetically, let's say, I'm just hoping that I could not be here when everything starts really happening, because then there's going to be the two witnesses, and they're really going to rain down wrath upon people, and people are going to hate their guts and kill them in Jerusalem, and... You know, it's going to be a horrible thing, the whole thing. They're dying to build the third temple right now, and there's going to be blood sacrifices, and, you know, there's going to be... I don't want to be around, if I make it, I want to live as long as God wants me to live. Put it that way. How's that sound? Because I will, right? Well, you know... Jehovah, lift up your hand, forget not the humble... Jehovah has heard the desire of the humble. That will prepare their heart. That will actually... God turns his ear to us and hears us. Amen. My soul shall make her boast in Jehovah. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So being humble is... Telling somebody they're humble is also a good thing. The humble shall see... Look at this. The humble is actually a group of people. They're known as the humble. The humble... shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly, that means just a few, than to divide the spoil with the proud. A man's pride shall bring him low, but the honor is going to uphold the humble in spirit. The fear of Jehovah is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is what? Humility. Some people just want to be big time ahead of time. When there's no big times in God, because anything you do know, it's God who did it, and God gets the glory, not us. We don't get nothing. Matter of fact, the Bible says we're unjust servants. You know, we're just doing our duty. I mean, fearing God and keeping his commandments and preaching to others is just doing our duty. It's nothing to get puffed. Some people get all puffed up, you know. It's ridiculous. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Yeah. By humility and the fear of Jehovah are... You ever notice humility and the fear of God always are kin too. By humility and the fear of Jehovah are riches, honor, and life. We're supposed to be serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Paul does it with many tears and in temptations, which befell him by the lying weight of the unbelieving Jews. Yeah. Peter says again, likewise, you younger, you novices, submit yourselves unto the elder. They might just know something better than you. I mean, seriously.
You know, in an ungodly setting, you ever notice how little kids or younger people think they know better than the older ones? All of us know now because we did the same thing when we were younger. We always thought we knew better than our parents, but no, they have the experience on us. So how much more in a godly setting, the younger are supposed to submit themselves unto the elder. All of us are supposed to be subject one to another, and be supposed to be clothed, dressed up with humility. I'm always ready to hear what someone has to say. You ever notice how I'm always saying, how many times you hear me ask, even last night, you have any more questions? You have any more questions? My flesh don't want to say that. You don't know that. My flesh wants to go, that's enough. I'm getting out of here. But I have to keep going. Is there any more questions? Is there any more questions? Because I have to make sure it's exhausted before I get off. I rebuke the flesh. I'm not just like a questionnaire, you know, just want to hear questions all day long. But I want to in God, because honest questions, that is. So anyway, first humble yourself and go and get forgiveness before you pray or bring an offering to God. Some people don't do that. They go, well, I didn't do nothing wrong. Well, maybe you should humble yourself and go say you're sorry anyway. Yeah. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and you all of a sudden you remember that your brother has ought against you, so even if you didn't do nothing wrong and you remember your brother or sister has something against you, you're supposed to go leave your gift at the altar and go your way, first be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then go offer your gift to God. Some people go, well, I didn't do nothing. This is if you didn't do nothing. You're supposed to go to them, right? My son, daughter, if you're surety for your friend, if you have stricken your hand with a stranger, if you're snared with the words of your mouth, some people are just snared with the words of their mouth, they're taken with the words of their mouth. What are you supposed to do? Supposed to do this now, my son or daughter. You're actually delivering yourself when you are coming to the hand of your friend. Go humble yourself and make sure your friend. Look what it says right here. Don't even go to bed. Make sure you do this before you go to sleep. You might die in your sleep. Give not sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Yeah, it's okay to be angry in a righteous way, but make sure you sin not. But make sure the sun doesn't go down upon your wrath. Some people just storm out of here, and we're left here thinking, what happened? But they're mad in their own spirit. And then they let the sun go down upon their own wrath. They gave place to the devil. That's why. That's the next verse I should have put there. But if you forgive not men or women their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So likewise, your heavenly Father will do to you if you forgive not from your heart. It's all from the heart, not from the mouth. So, because some people are always going, yeah, forgive me. Okay, pass the lettuce. What's for lunch? No, you have to say it from the heart. If you don't forgive everyone, God's not going to forgive you. No, you don't bring it back up again. You don't do it again. Some people keep repeating the same thing over and over. And, you know, we're ready to forgive you 70 times 7 if you do it, if you're sincere, if you're that so out of it that you keep doing the same thing. So in closing, this is a short study today. It's about pride and being humble, which is really more, there's a group of people that are known as the humble, and there's some people known as the proud. Believe it or not, those are two titles of two different groups of people, according to the Bible. So which group are you in? It says confess your faults one to another. And yes, we do pray for one for another. You may not know it, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person, how are you righteous? By keeping the commandments, it avails much. And there's a difference now. You confess your faults one to another. But David makes it very clear. He says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, unto God. and mine iniquity have I not hid from you, God. I will confess my transgressions unto Jehovah, not to anyone else, not to a priest, Catholic priest, or anybody. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins, Selah. So we confess our faults one to another and our sins unto God. You know, we're all one in Messiah. We're not one in us. We're one in Messiah, the God of Israel. Make sure everybody remembers that. We're only a little piece of the Israel of God ourselves. So I'm going to say shalom. This has not been a long study today. Remember, tonight is the Rosh Chodesh, the new moon. And we'll be praying in the new moon tonight before we leave, I guess, because we'll be right here. And we might go over a couple of verses. So we might get back online before as Sabbath comes to an end. Anyway, I'm happy that you participated in my study. So make sure you join the right group, the humble group, not the proud group. Because I only gave a few verses today. And let's see, what time is it? Short study. Wow. Less than an hour. A little bit less than an hour. What's wrong with me? Well, I think that's enough said. Because I think, did you understand the message today? Is there anybody on Pal Talk hates my guts today over this message? Okay. A lot of people are not there today. Like a lot of people are missing today. Yeah, a lot of people are missing today because... Excuse me? Oh, they're going to look at it. I know they're going to sneak online and hear, listen to the message. And I know that. And I hope they do too, because these are not my words. These are the words of the Bible. And some people, they're not here today because of pride. What other reason could you not be here today? Because you're proud and you didn't like last week's message. But anyway, I'm happy I'm here, that it's a Mikra Kodesh, and I didn't forsake the assembly of ourselves together, Father. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint the rest of this Sabbath, and I thank you for the joy you give us, and I thank you, Lord and God, for the understanding you give us. Give us more and more, Father. And I pray you'll bless all the real brothers and sisters in Messiah, and I pray you'll cut down this pride that these people have in their hearts, Lord and God, before it's everlastingly too late. We don't want to see anyone lose their salvation over this silly thing as pride. But this is one of the things you hate. You hate the proud look, Father. Let us join the club of the humble, where Yeshua was, where you humbled yourself and became obedient to the death of the cross. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you. Teach us to be like you. Bless the rest of this Shabbat. Bless the singing, the food. Bless everything we do. The conversations, the studies, let everything be done to the glory of the living God and for the edifying of the body. And when we say that, Father, let us be sincere. Everything we teach is for the edifying of each other and to provoke each other to good works. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint the rest of the Shabbat in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And I hope you got something out of this study. And I don't know. We'll see if anyone will leave me over this study, because they'll think, well, you're calling me proud. No, that's pride if you think that. If the shoe fits, you remember the old saying? Wear it. Sometimes you got to change your shoes, right? Change that pride. Anyway, God bless you and Shabbat Shalom. Bye, everyone.